Hey, everybody. Welcome to Locked on Lakers for Wednesday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. The Lakers escape Staples Center with a 119-117 win Tuesday night over the Houston Rockets, proving one thing, Andy. The Lakers are probably sponsored by cardiologists all around the city because they are determined to kill their fans this year. We'll talk about all of it next.
Your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Want to let you know this episode of Locked On Lakers is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's an unofficial community center. Big thank you to our friends at McDonald's for always being there. I'm loving it. Loving as well that you make this your first listen of every day. Locked On Lakers, we get it up for you bright and early every morning, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. We appreciate you joining in every single day.
Make it your first listen in the McDonald's drive-thru in the morning.
There you go. Get some hash browns and some pancakes and one of them McMuffins.
I'm loving that.
Yeah. I have determined one thing. Andy, the Lakers are now 5-3. We got plenty to talk about with the big three tonight. All three, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, excellent games. Tuesday night at Staples Center in the 119-117 win over Houston. But good God, there is nothing relaxing about watching the Lakers play. From the incredible variance in defense, possession to possession, the fact that you can't go 30 seconds without Anthony Davis looking like he's about to snap a limb. It happened like four times Tuesday. Nothing is comfortable about it. They're going to kill their fan base over 82 games of this.
I tweeted this out at Cam Brothers. Sometimes Anthony Davis is like watching a baby deer figure out its legs, except the deer has been fully grown for a decade. Like, it's the weirdest thing. It's like he's out there all like, it's like he's too gangly for his own good. Like, for 99.9% of NBA basketball players, that length is what makes them deadly. I feel like Anthony Davis's length, or at least like, you know, hips down, is actually what's gonna like do in his career. It is so stressful watching this high-end athlete often seem like he barely has any idea how to control his lower extremities.
It's like a windsock. It's like he's like a used car windsock, like a lot of times. And the thing just folds in unnatural ways that fall in the second half. I think it was in the fourth quarter where he went down, kind of looked like he twisted his knee, and he popped back up, and it was okay. And he actually missed the beginning of the second half because I guess his ankle was a little tweaked. They were probably retaping it. He said he was fine. Cut off Mike Trudell. Who, you know, asking the first question to AD before it even got out of his mouth, my ankle is fine. But like,
Trudell should have said, no, I'm worried about your knees from that fall.
What the hell happened the other time?
The ankle was so 1 hour ago.
And there are so many things about this team that are potentially thrilling at the same time, because we saw it on Tuesday. You know, like, just go through some of these numbers: 27-9-3 for Anthony Davis, 11-18 from the floor, 27-9-7 from Westbrook against only three turnovers, only turned the ball over twice in the first game against Houston, three on Tuesday night. And then LeBron, 30 points, 10 assists, four rebounds, two steals, and it was a personal 10-0 run, I believe it was, in the fourth.
Yes, it was.
To bring the Lakers back from what would have been just hold my beer kind of loss compared to the Wednesday game with Oklahoma City.
What was going on, Brian, is that they were looking ahead to the Thunder. This big revenge game against OKC. it's hard to get geared up for, you know, at the time 1-4 Houston, and you've got like, you know, 1-5 OKC, you know, in the horizon. Like, I know these guys have quote unquote championship DNA. There's a lot of rings on this roster, but at the same time, they're only human, and the Thunder are a big rival. So this is I can't blame them.
The emotional swings here are tremendous. So we're going to talk about defense and the variance that we saw here. We're going to talk about the rotation because a lot of interesting things are happening and happened on on Tuesday in the context even too of like trying to figure out what the hell is going on with this team and what the potential could be for them.
And some things, by the way, that we've noticed that actually are good progress.
Good. Like, it's not all bad. It's like, you know, it's like, but trying to, if you are now 8 games in with the Lakers, 1/10 of the way through the season, and the schedule's going to get tougher a little bit, you know, not going to take long over the next week or, you know, really 2 weeks, and especially.
Yeah, we just said the Thunder are coming, man.
That's true. You know, like they're it's not all bad. There's plenty of good signs and encouraging signs. So let's start here. The Lakers had 3 stars, Andy, obviously, 4 if you count Austin Reeves. And this was the first game where all 3 of them got world together. And you're like, oh, damn. Like that is a ton of talent on the floor and it is a problem. And I get it. It's Houston, but that's, if they play like that against, like, that's a problem for everybody.
Well, it's also too, I mean, you and I were talking about this, Brian, before the show. Like, it's one of those things where LeBron, AD, and Westbrook playing really well off each other may not paper over literally every single problem the Lakers are encountering now or may encounter down the road, but it's still a pretty nice paper to have.
It's a hard, it's a hardy paper. It's a hard stock.
Exactly. Like this is the good stuff you pay a little extra for at Kinko's, like when you want the paper to impress somebody. Like
that's weighty. It's, you know what it is, Andy? It's the scene in American Psycho where Patrick Bateman's really feeling the paper on the business card.
Yeah, when they're all trading business cards and Patrick Bateman is jealous of the guy who just has the Trump card of business cards.
Yeah, like
the
one everybody
knows is the best.
But the team is predicated. The success of the team is predicated on that. It's not predicated on, you know, how good is Malik Monk going to be or how good is Kendrick Nunn? Those things are important, but they, as we've talked about many times and will continue to, those things are in service of the big three. And it's how much can you raise the ceiling? How many, whatever gaps there are, how much can those guys enhance what they're doing? And what I was impressed by, and I'm going to predicate this, literally everything I'm about to say, and probably you too, Andy, over the course of this show, just put on the offensive end in front of everything. Like, because that's what we're talking about. Pretty much like, you know, everything was as you would almost want to draw it up. The Lakers come out and it was like, let's make Anthony Davis a star tonight. And he was aggressive. They found him down low. He was taking advantage of matchups that he should take advantage of. And that was spectacular. Huge first quarter. You have LeBron showing the ability to get in the paint, take over games. And you have Westbrook continuing to look more comfortable, constantly in the paint, and not turning the ball over with pretty good shots. Like a couple I'd like to take back, but pretty good.
Look, that's the deal with Westbrook. I mean, even Westbrook at his best, you're going to have to live with a few shots like that the same way that you had to live with it with Kobe. Like Kobe at his absolute brilliant, like his most brilliant performances ever. There's still a shot, you know, shot or two where you're like, all right. I mean, because again,
shot or two on a good night.
Right. But that's my point, at his most brilliant, because that is ultimately what makes guys like Kobe, like Westbrook, you know, the guys who really live on that edge of aggressive to the point where defenses just cannot handle them and too aggressive. Like, these are the things that you live with when you're talking about guys who play at that level, like a Kobe, like a Westbrook, two guys who, you know, were, I would say, kindred spirits, fair to say.
Yeah. And so, you know, when you break it down, Andy, offensively, and this isn't a matter of high-end post play or, you know, old-fashioned Shaq style dump it down on the block, the Lakers took 48 shots at the rim, not near it, at it, and only 43, if I'm doing the math on the cleaning glass numbers correctly, 45, I should say, 45 shots anywhere else on the floor and 48 at the rim. And that is in the half court. That's in transition. I thought their pace was outstanding, pushing off makes, pushing off misses.
It was a night where Westbrook, you had,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say really quickly, it was a night where you had guys beyond Russ, LeBron, and AD, who you expect to put that type of leverage on the rim. You had Bazemore driving to the rim. You had Malik Monk going to the rim. Austin Reeves got a great layup off a really, really smart cut. LeBron hit him with a no look. He was totally aware of where LeBron was at the top of the arc.
Love too that he laid it up, didn't try to dunk it. Fundamentals.
Well, I mean, he as much as people want to,
you know, Austin Reeves can dunk. Like, he can.
Well, as much as people want to make him the next Caruso, he ain't the next Caruso in that regard, man. Caruso is a legit dunker. You know, I mean, you know, DeAndre Jordan had, I assume all of his baskets were dunks because that's pretty much all he does. But, like, you know, this is a team that is built to put leverage and pressure on the rim. Like,
right.
even when their outside shots are falling, and that was not the case against Houston tonight, they are going to be at their best when they constantly keep you on your heels because they are just attacking and attacking and attacking at the rim.
Yeah, just for context to what Nate's talking about here, Carmelo Anthony, another good three-point shooting night, 3 of 5 from three-point range. LeBron made 2 of 4. Westbrook was 0-4. Bradley was 0-3. Davis was 0-3. Monk 0-1, and Reeves 0-2. So aside from LeBron and Carmelo Anthony, literally nobody else on the team made a three-pointer. They were 6 of 25 from downtown. Let's talk about Russ, because LeBron talked about Westbrook's comfort level after the game and used the old fit out term. Remember that with Kevin Love, how that was a big controversy at the time. It's not a controversy now, but it was designed to show Westbrook's feeling more comfortable. And I thought there were a couple things that we saw on Tuesday that are great signs of that. We'll talk about it next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's a place where family, friends come together to reconnect. It's a place where you always look forward to stopping to. On a long road trip, you just rest your legs, you refuel. Win or lose, it's where the home team or the away team, they come to recharge and just celebrate sports. I remember, Brian, after Little League soccer games, our grandma, Nini, as we used to call her, would take us to McDonald's after every single game. You sit down with those cheeseburgers or a McChicken, you always get the fries. And whether you get the McNuggets or not, you get the sauces, because the sauces make everything else that you'll be eating just that much better. It's
pro tip, take them home, put them on other things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, just absolutely. Like, they, you know, they got lax security. You can get it out the door. It's really not a problem. So head to
what's
your local.
What I do with it after they give it to me is none of their damn business.
That is true. You did purchase it. You're right.
I mean, it comes, I paid for it. I don't have this rule that says I must clear. Consume the sauce at the time.
That is true. I want to make it clear. I am not in any way implying.
No, I'm stealing sauce. I'm just saying, if you, I'm not feeling barbecue today. Just take it home, put it on something else. They're delicious. That's all.
I just want to make sure people understand. I'm not implying that you should like reach over the counter. You won't
never reach over the counter.
No, do not do that.
It's not okay pre-COVID. It's certainly not now.
No, it's never okay. Right, so head to your local McDonald's, refuel, reconnect. Did somebody say Locked On Lakers watch party? Ba-da-da-ba-ba.
Oh, I like the singing there. That was good.
Thank you.
So one of the things that is interesting about the way that Westbrook plays and having Russell Westbrook on your team, Andy, is that, he is going to be given space to shoot. You know, we remember, you know, before he was asked about the new rule about, you know, kicking out legs and drawing fouls on three pointers and all that. And his response was, I don't see a lot of people, you know, rushing out to guard me at the 3-point line, so I think I'll be okay. What I thought was great on Tuesday was Houston, rightly, backing up. And almost every time, a couple exceptions, he would take that shot off the jumper off the glass that he loves and is pretty good for him. Almost every time he would respond by filling that space with himself and getting to the rim and putting pressure on the rim. And it was very effective. It's never elegant, but it is often effective. And that's what you want from him, changing speeds and constantly pressuring the rim. And I thought Tuesday was the best example of that we've seen all season.
Well, here's the thing that I think is really encouraging with Russ, and that fans should be, I think, if nothing else, relatively optimistic moving forward, because there is still a lot to figure out in terms of, you know, Russ's place on the team, how he fits in with everybody else, all that stuff. But any struggles that he's had, they don't seem to be struggles of resistance, like in terms of just not being willing to do the things that he's supposed to be doing because Russ feels like he wants to be doing it his own way. Like, obviously, Russ has habits, just like every player has, just like every superstar has. And sometimes those habits can be difficult to break. And
there's a great example. You have a great example of it. First half when the Lakers were playing some god-awful defense. He gets caught kind of just ball watching, and Jayshon Tate, standing at the three-point line, just runs right by him, grabs the offensive rebound, puts it back in. Westbrook holds his hand up like, that was me, my bad. And like, those are habits that he needs to break.
Right, but it doesn't feel like he is resisting the idea of, I have to adapt in certain ways. Like, as much as, I know we're going to talk about this, like, guys are saying Russ has got to be Russ, there is, though, the caveat of Russ within our system. Because, Russ being Russ without being conscientious of the other stuff that he's actually supposed to be doing to get the best version of himself with this team, that won't work. And, we've talked about this before. Like, Russ is not an easy guy to blend. He just isn't. Like, which doesn't mean that he can't be blended, and it doesn't mean that he's not a really talented player. He is. But he is... he's not somebody that you just sort of stick on your team and say, you know what, this will just figure itself out.
No. Don't worry about him. It'll be fine. Yes, there are certain players in the league that are probably more seamless than Russell Westbrook. But you start to go back through the game logs here. Two turnovers. Against Houston on Sunday, 3 on Tuesday, 4 against Cleveland in 34 minutes. Throw out the 10 against OKC, which is obviously a terrible, the quadruple double. It's in four of his last 5 games, Westbrook has 4 or fewer turnovers. Given the amount that he pushes, given the amount that he's got the ball in his hands, and given the minutes that he plays, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's not. There's nothing extreme or wrong or untenable about that. And the efficiency, 10 of 21 on Tuesday, 9 of 22 on Sunday, 8 of 13 against Cleveland. A week ago or on Friday, I should say. Those are numbers that you can live with from him, and it's getting better. And so when LeBron uses the fit out line. You're right. It is. It's almost like the exact. Just stop trying so hard to be perfect about how you're doing it. And I was encouraged offensively about the way it looked on Tuesday. Like, at least you could see what it looks like when all three of these guys are dominant, and it was pretty cool.
Well, I mean, this is a team that even if they can pick their defense up to the way that they, they talked a lot, Brian, after Sunday's win over Cleveland, after Monday's practice, about buying into.
Let's change the subject here. Let's get to this part.
They talked a lot, Brian, about buying into Frank Vogel's defensive principles and how they're going to, they were really starting to pay attention to the details and understanding the importance of this. And then, Brian, you and I, we actually said that it seemed like this was actually in the works, that we were actually seeing
positive signs. Fourth quarter against Cleveland.
Yeah. You and I are people, Brian, that, we have thankfully, we really appreciate it, like a lot of listeners who come to us for perspective on the Lakers. And we were saying, like, we are seeing signs of these defensive principles being adhered to. And then the Lakers just threw it all away to make us look ridiculous.
Yeah.
And men in our position cannot afford to be made to look ridiculous. So you get the hell out of here, Lakers.
Yes. And I plan on responding by putting a severed horse's head in someone's bed.
You should. Anybody but Austin Reeves. He's the one guy was working his ass off the whole game defensively.
I will say this. I was asked on Spectrum Sportsnet, the Lakers cable station, where you and I will appear in studio relatively frequently. For analysis like this, whether I bought into the idea that the Lakers,
That's why we get the big bucks from Spectrum.
That's right. Whether I bought into the idea that the Lakers had turned a corner defensively, no. I did say no. Let's pump the brakes on that a little. I need to see it against teams that are a little better than, say, Houston. But
do you feel like they've identified the corner?
Well, look,
that they're going to turn on.
How about this? Yeah, I think they know, sort of. It was very clear in the first half. I thought two things were happening. The first one is the Lakers 100% believed that it would take about 15 minutes, 10 minutes tops of high-end basketball to win this game. And it turned out they were somewhat correct.
Dude, Stu Lance, during the broadcast, and, you know, Stu is a Laker homer. You know, he played for the team. You know, he openly wants them to win. But he comes from the Chick Hearn School of Broadcasting.
He does not lie to you.
Right. He does not just tell you what you want to hear. He said during the game, when they were down 63-57 in the first half, the Lakers right now are showing such disinterest in this game.
They really were.
Going into halftime, he said, I would love to be in the locker room for this speech.
And, you know, so there was that. I mean, there was clear disinterest going on, combined with,
again,
especially
ahead to the Thunder,
especially compared to Sunday's version of this game. You know, Green, you know, Jalen Green came out and hadn't hit a three-pointer in like a week and a half, like 2 weeks. I think it was 0 for 12 coming into this game, over his last 12, was just dropping threes all over. The Lakers were surrendering the kinds of shots that you would want Houston to be taking. And to the Rockets' credit, they were making them at a far higher pace than they were the other night. They didn't turn the ball over early as much as they did the other night. The problem was, Andy, they were also giving up the kind of shots that you wouldn't want Houston to be taking. They were giving up all the shots, and Houston was making all of them.
Gave up a lot of drives to the basket.
Yeah, it was a really shoddy defensive effort in the first half. Third quarter, they tightened it up. They only gave up 19 points. Fourth quarter wasn't terrible. It was misleading slightly in the point total, just because of, you know, things like a miracle three from Green late. But I will say this, where the Lakers really dodged a bullet, Green hits the three to get them within one or two or whatever it was off the timeout. Lakers had defended that play horribly out of the timeout. When Houston had a chance to tie after the Monk free throw that put him up two, they got really lucky. If Christian Wood gets the shot up, he's going to the line with time with to tie the game. Instead, they fouled before the shot went up, and that on the floor. And the, you know, we saw what happened after that.
I said so this after
they,
the
they were not airtight in the fourth quarter either. It was not a good defensive performance.
I said this after they blew the 26-point lead to the Thunder, and I will say this again tonight, with regards to what we were talking about with the disinterest in the game. They are not good enough right now to put it in third gear against anybody.
No,
like they're just,
and they need the reps. They need the reps of doing it right every single time down the floor.
They're not talented enough to coast yet. I don't care who they're playing, because we know this now because they've played the two worst teams in the league, and
now they got the Thunder coming up, and you know that's a big game.
I'm just saying, like they're just not good enough yet. They might be in a couple months, but they're not now.
I just hope they're not too geeked up for the big Thunder game, you know, and then they come out overhyped.
It's hard.
We said this on Monday's show. Like, you can afford to improvise. You can afford to try things differently when you have the underlying structure. They don't have that yet. They need the reps of doing it right, and should be using it against crappy teams like this one to build better habits. And that's what I think is really destructive about the way they played in the first half on Tuesday. Let's talk about the rotation, though, because some interesting things are happening. Even with the that they have in terms of depth that could have some staying power around Malik Monk, Austin Reeves, and stuff like that. We'll talk about next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Built Bar. I love Thanksgiving coming up, obviously, at the end of November. All the good food, the treats, you get everything.
Turkey-flavored Built Bar. Let's do it.
You know what? If they're listening right now, there's time to unveil that thing, or maybe it's a surprise. It's not in my copy, but that doesn't mean that it's not coming.
Give me that mashed potato Built Bar.
Yeah, I certainly hope
that's not where they're getting it.
I certainly hope not. But you can offset all of the decadence with a treat that actually isn't just chock full of calories and sugar. That's Built Bars, the new holiday dessert. Feast on something delicious. Feel good about it. Like one slice of pie, for example, upwards of 300 calories. And that's on the low end. That's like if you skip the ice cream or the whipped cream or putting like a slice of pie on top of that pie. But most Built Bars, that's how Brian does it. That's most right. Built Bars are only 130 calories, only 4 grams.
Call that a double decker.
Right, with all that protein. They're low calorie, they're low carb, they're high protein, low fat, and 100% chocolate. They're just covered in that 100% real chocolate. They're a great option if you're hungry. If Thanksgiving isn't soon enough, go for a Built Bar or two. Share them at the Thanksgiving dinner. It makes things less awkward, like that, and wine. Like definitely wine makes it less awkward.
What are you thankful for? Built Bars?
Yeah, I am thankful for Built Bars, and there's going to be nothing like the Built Bar Black Friday. Mark your calendar. Black Friday is going to be a big event with all sorts of surprises. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. Again, promo code LOCKED15, 15% off at Built.com.
Locked On Lakers, also brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Back and better than ever, Andy. Basketball season, and it comes with a new web interface with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. So head on over to the new updated desktop or mobile website, sign up today, and receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. So from basketball, football, baseball, which just ended, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite casino games. I'm moving right through it. Don't
wait to take advantage. Ron Burgundy over here.
Just go. We don't have that Built Bar read was long. Take advantage of all the amazing offers for 2021 season. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way. You'll want to gamble on baseball again at some point. Don't worry about it. And it'll be there for you.
Get ahead of it.
That's right. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the games start. So you made the point, Andy, on Twitter during the game as the Lakers were turning in this wretched defensive performance, that the one person who might be able to look at the film and not be completely ashamed of himself, at least in the first half, was Austin Reeves. And I agree with you. He does get shoved around a little bit. He is not physically as strong, even as some of the baby rockets.
He gets crushed on screens, man. Like he just gets wiped out.
And, you know, part of what made LeBron's run in the fourth quarter and Westbrook's, like, physically, and this makes sense, the average age of the Houston Rockets is 14. Physically, the Lakers were just so much bigger and so much stronger. Like, they couldn't keep LeBron out of the paint or Westbrook out of the paint. Those guys are just too big and too strong. You know, watching Sengun try to stop AD in the post or something like that, it was just couldn't do it. He doesn't have the size and the physicality of it.
Not unless he tripped him.
Right. Like the exception, well, that was not, he didn't really trip him so much as he was just falling down from AD bullying him. And then AD turned his ankle, stepping on Sengun, who is a pretty talented young player. But anyway, the exception to that is Austin Reeves, who isn't capable of physically bullying even the Rockets around. But if aside from that, fighting over screens, being in the right spot with the rotation,
he took a couple charges during
a couple charges, recovering where you're supposed to do, all of those things, he does exactly what he's supposed to do. That's going to earn him playing time, I think, even when guys get back in the rotation. And it seems, at least in the last couple games, like Malik Monk might be starting to press a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, before we get to Monk, I just think also Frank Vogel's been very purposeful and I think smart about making sure that he keeps Reeves on the floor with guys who are experienced. Like, he likes to play him out there with LeBron. He likes to play him out there with Melo. Like, he likes to put him out there with guys who I think can help guide him and, you know, make sure that he's like Carmelo.
And also make it so he doesn't have to do anything other than be in the right spot. Mm-hmm. You know, make the correct rotation, make the correct pass, cut, like you mentioned that play before. Do those things that are fundamentals. They're not above and beyond that require something that you might not be capable of quite yet from a skill standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've done a really good job making sure that that inexperience is offset by some of the smarter guys that are on this team. Mm-hmm. As far as Monk, man, like you and I were texting during the game, and I was like, Monk right now, because he's looking the last couple games really sped up when he's out there. You know, there's been moments where he's had either good drives of the baskets or, you know, a couple good passes, things like that. But he looks to me really wound up. He looks to me like somebody who feels like I could be in danger of losing my place in the rotation, and the best way for me to keep it is to score a billion points in a quarter, and yep, that will impress Frank Vogel. Like, he took only 3 shots against Houston. It felt like 30, and a lot of them were just wild. Like,
yeah, he also had that turnover, you know, goes and he gets off his feet and ends up with a charge, you know, which takes a shot attempt away. But yeah, I mean, look at his, you know, 0-for-3 tonight, only played 13 minutes on a night where the Lakers were short players. And, you know, missed all 6 of his shots, including all 4 of his 3s on Sunday against Houston, only played 5. You know, this was the game that probably got him thinking a little bit. And, you know, the funny thing about Monk is that, you know, he's coming off that 17-point game in the overtime game against San Antonio, where he hit the big shot, 4 of 10 from 3-point range. He'd been shooting the ball very well from that point. And, you know, he's a guy who has had really wild swings in his performance going back to Charlotte. And it's that inconsistency that's made it difficult for him to be, you know, the type of guy that would not be available in any way, shape, or form under any circumstances on a minimum deal this early in his career.
He's better than even with the stuff that we're talking about now, let's make it clear, he is better than a veteran.
Absolutely. And again, great signing. There's no downside. Great signing. You know, he still, you know, has been a good, you know, valuable member of the rotation to this point and could remain one. My only point is, were he more consistent in Charlotte, nobody would have even entertained the idea of even calling his agent to say, hey, would you take a minimum to play for the Lakers this year? Like, it never would have happened. He would have been a part of a mid-level at the very least. And, you know, it was like DeAndre Jordan was, you know, the numbers were okay, 8 points, 9 rebounds in like 16 minutes, but he was getting torched defensively.
Yeah.
But he was only playing because Dwight Howard was unavailable. They don't have anyone. Anthony Davis got into early foul trouble. He had 2 fouls early. And they don't have anybody else who can play.
Right.
So, like, it's hard to kind of divine certain things in the rotation, but you can see signs. And if I'm Monk, I'm a little worried that I only have played 13 minutes on a night where the Lakers were really short on players. And it is, as I said on Monday, fair or not, Frank Vogel is not going to be predisposed to playing him if he's not hitting his shots. And he's going to have less tolerance for defensive mistakes from Monk than he's going to have from other players. He just is. And it's not always fair, but that's the world that Monk lives in.
Well, it's funny, actually. Nights like tonight, where I was saying before, Brian, that he seemed sped up to me, like too sped up. It's a reminder that he's still young. Like, and, you know, it's easy to overlook that on a team that is so veteran heavy. And right now with Kendrick Nunn unavailable, THT unavailable, like Malik Monk is, and I guess now Austin Reeves, but it's taken a while before you even think of him as part of the team because he was unexpected. Like coming into with the guys that you expected to play coming into the season, Malik Monk is for all intents and purposes, the only really young guy in the rotation. You know,
right. And the avenue to playing time is never going to be more wide open than it is now.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it is important for him to take a breath, you know, before he gets out on the court and just like recognize, like, he's probably not going to play his way into a 25 or 30 minute role right now during this period where other guys aren't out there and he has more opportunities, but he could lose minutes. Like, he's more likely to lose them than gain them. Point. He just needs to settle in and, you know, take some of the advice that LeBron's been giving Russ.
And it is important to remember, we'll wrap here, of all the guys on this team, all the 1-year guys, he's the one who made a massive bet on himself, and the context around Monk and the pressure for him for the rest of his career to find, you know, to get paid. You know, he's a young guy, and you know, he doesn't want to be on minimum deals going forward for the rest of his career here. He took a huge swing to come here, and if he ends up buried on the bench, it's like, this is a significant thing for him. So I understand where in the back of his mind he might feel the need. This is not, you know, him, you know, like some sort
being
of criticism.
Selfish,
I get it. Like, I completely get it. All right. So we'll see what's going on with the Lakers ahead of the game, I would say, of the year. They'll play Brooklyn on Christmas, but
I'm sure.
Oklahoma City on Thursday.
I'm sure they're putting this. It's a shame TNT, they're no longer doing the Thursday night NBA, because this would have been
a showcase game. Bring it back.
They might.
You know, don't be surprised if the NFL preempts itself to try to carry that game.
It's true. Even the NFL recognizes when they're up against something superior.
We'll regroup after hopefully a better result on Thursday. God help us all if they lose that again. And then, you know, an interesting game against Portland over the weekend as well. So plenty to coming up with Locked On Lakers. Make sure you subscribe to Locked On Lakers on YouTube and keep making us your first listen of every day. We'll see you guys on Thursday.